and you here at WCWP.org, 88.1 on your radio dial, which we always joke about. Does anybody still really have that radio dial? Anyone? All right. Well, if you're listening to us on the radio, that's good to know, but you can always stream us at WCWP.org. And we also have all the shows going back, right, Christina, archived?
6 years worth. You could sit there all day,
And just binge listen to Project Independence in You. So we want to get right to it because 15 minutes goes really fast here. Fran, we were talking during the break just about, because we are the In Aging in Place program here, when you find yourself single, you don't plan for that. We certainly don't, whether you're, you know, a younger divorcee or an older divorcee or a widow. How do you approach life when you're still active? You want to get out there. You want to meet friends and become part of it. I know, Otto, you actually have a story about that.
Well, my story goes back a number of years. My first wife died when she was 40, and I was a widower with three kids, but I was still in the age bracket where the word dating maybe was part of my vocabulary. I think when you get older and maybe 75, 80, 85, whatever the number, pick a number, I don't know if the word dating is the right word. Fran, we were talking in between here, connections are more the word. You're trying to make connections as opposed to trying to date somebody at that point in time. You may be past the dating interest. Maybe you're not. Some people are. You
know? Well, I think the other thing that's so different for all of us when if we find ourselves single, and you know, especially if we're over 50, is that dating now kind of works around the internet. But that's not what we're talking about here, Fran. We're talking more about finding yourself essentially alone, and you haven't planned for that. And you're active, and how do you get, I don't want to say back in the game, but even meeting friends that are single,
absolutely,
other people?
So much has to do with your attitude about who you are. One of the things that's so important is about being approachable. Everyone worries about how they're aging and how they look. And they've done anecdotal studies that it's not about how attractive you are, it's about how approachable you are. So what I'd like to do is give you some hands-on tips. We'll call them flirting rules to remember, so that after listening to this show, go get a pen and a paper. These are the things you absolutely can practice doing. You got to make the first move, and that means saying hello to somebody. You want to enjoy the moment, stay in the present, and appreciate every single encounter you're having, no matter where you are. If you're on the deli line, if you're at motor vehicle, you're at the library, anywhere you are, make that moment. Focus on making your flirting interest feel like $1 million. It's as if there is nobody else on the face of the planet. Smiling is contagious. It's very similar to the common cold because it's very contagious. So I want you to make good eye contact, smile, say hi, introduce yourself. The other person's going to say, wow, nobody ever does that. I don't know about you, but no matter where you go, this is what people do. They have their cell phone in their hand, and they're looking down. Nobody makes any eye contact.
Well, it's become a great crutch.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a way to avoid anything around you.
Yeah. And also, it's not about being the most perfect flirt. One of the things that I think is really important is I want you to act as if you're the host and not the guest. Wherever you are, whatever social activity, especially if you're going to any holiday parties, family gatherings, and especially if you're going by yourself. One of the things that you can do is think about what you would do if you were in your own home and you wanted to make somebody feel comfortable. So you're going to tell them what food is delicious. You're going to introduce them to somebody. You're going to introduce yourself. You might offer a chair. You might tell them, you better hurry up and get that drink because I've been to this party before, and once it runs out, for whatever crazy reason, they don't make any more. So you're going to do things to make the other person feel good. And the serendipitous effect of that is that it makes you relax and feel better. One of the things that prevents all of us from making connections and starting a conversation with someone or even making eye contact is the fear of rejection.
Right.
And it's big. It's huge. And what I I think that let's just say, I'll use Anthony as an example. Anthony looks like the kind of guy that I'd like to meet. But I don't know. He's a little younger than me. I'm not sure if
quite
he might.
Quite a bit.
Is that necessary, Otto? Right. We're playing here. This is...
Thank you.
Oh, you know something? I'm going home.
No.
Should I stay?
All right.
Yeah,
by
we
the
want
way,
you to stay.
One of the good things about flirting is you have you can do do-overs. So, Anthony, we're going to do a do-over, all right?
That was a do-over.
It's a do-over. So I see Anthony, and I decided, you know what? There's four women in here and only two guys. I better make my move. So I go over to Anthony and I say, "Hi, I'm Fran. Nice to meet you." And he says, "Hi, I'm Anthony." And the next thing I know, he's sipping his coffee. He's looking at his watch. I don't know. He looks at his phone. And all of a sudden, I want to open up the ground, fall in, because Anthony is clearly not interested. It's probably because I'm too young, I'm too hot, and I'm too gorgeous, but he's clearly not interested.
Right.
I can vouch for that.
Yeah,
I can't figure that out. Yeah. So at that moment, what I want you to symbolically do is shake Anthony's hand. This is pretend. That's what symbolically means. Mm-hmm. You shake Anthony's hand and you said, "Thank you so much. You just did me a huge favor. You only wasted 5 minutes of my time rather than 5 days, 5 weeks, or 5 years. And at this stage of my life, 5 years is a really long time." Well, what can you really do? You can just say, "Nice meeting you, Anthony," or, "I got to go talk to my friend Rebecca," or, "Enjoy your evening." And I honestly believe that Anthony has done me a huge favor. I hate rejection more than anybody in this room. Look at me cross-eyed, and I'm going to have a bad day. I'm hypersensitive. I guess I like and want people to like me. And there are other people who are similar to me. What rejection does is it allows you to redirect yourself. And what that means is I've made that approach and I'm still standing and I'm still talking. And everyone that you approach is not going to like you. Sorry. It's probably going to be about 1 out of 3. And there are people, whether they're 50, 60, 70, or 80, who are interested in dating. And the most important thing about flirting is the goal of flirting cannot be to get a date. And the reason why is you're not going to be staying in the moment. The minute you start thinking, "Will I be able to get on his health insurance?" All right. Or, "Will I be able to
can
sell?
Can he drive?
Can
he,
at night.
No, can he drive at night?
At night.
The minute you start going there, the reason why I was talking about the health insurance, a friend of mine who's like 53 just got engaged. And when the guy asked her to marry him, she goes, "And why should I marry you?" And he said, "Because I have health insurance." She's an independent contractor. And I said to myself, "Oh, my God." At age 52, you're thinking like a senior. Anyway, I just got confused. I forgot what I was talking about.
Well, I have a thought, though.
Go ahead.
What you're saying is really, when you get rejected, all
yes.
right, it really comes down to a broader picture, in my opinion, and
yes.
that is your ability to handle negatives that come up and your right. ability to handle change. You know, these are all mentality, attitude things that I think when you get older, a lot of people don't.
Yes, Otto, when I do my workshops and they're usually a whole lot of fun and people are always laughing and this is the only serious part of it. And the way I differentiate between the momentary flirting rejection and rejection, I tell people to imagine that they have a zipper from the bottom of their chin down to their stomach. And you unzip the zipper and you open up your heart and think about who has really hurt you, whether you lost the love of your life to a horrible illness, or you were married 30 years and got divorced. That can feel like horrible rejection. Not rejection being a widow, but having a relationship end. And those things, you go through the grief process, and in the momentary flirting rejection, it's like, okay, they're not interested. Big deal.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of like just, you know, as you get older, it's a hiccup, and
you
move
that,
and
yes.
you move on. And we don't have a lot more time, but
okay.
I did want to talk to the listeners out there who, in addition to maybe wanting to eventually find the right partner.
Yes.
As a single person who maybe the goal isn't to every night go out and date, but to meet people who maybe are also widowed or divorced,
yes,
or alone for whatever reason and want an active life. Because I'm divorced, and all of my friends who I was, you know, we were couples, always going out couples, even my dearest, dearest friends, I feel they seem more uncomfortable with me being single and having me go out to the dinners or whatever we're doing. So how do you kind of, as a newly single person, fit into society and make those friends?
Right.
So we have 2.5 minutes left. So you're going to solve this in
absolutely
180 seconds.
It's a solvable problem. One of the things is you have to make new single friends. And your single friends can be in lots of different categories. They are ones to go out to dinner with, ones to go to movies with, ones somebody who you can call up when you're feeling very lonely. And if you don't have those current friends, you've got to go find them. There are meetup groups. There are groups and events at libraries, at the Y's, at churches, at synagogues. In Newsday on Tuesdays, they have events for singles. You're looking at it, you're cringing, you're saying, oh my God, pick one. And also, being single is not a fatal disease. It really isn't.
Right, right.
And let everybody know that you are single, you are available, you're looking for friends, and maybe you're looking for potential dates. And the more confidence you exude, the more people are going to be drawn to you. And a good flirt never leaves home without their props, because props help people talk to you. And if you notice, I decided I needed a prop.
Right.
And what is my prop?
It's a heart, big red heart ring, which I'm borrowing tonight, by the way.
And you can.
Friday night.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Where are you going?
Well, I think I'm bringing my sons. But I was going to pitch this.
That's all right. Maybe
I'm going to see a band. I'm going to go see a Rolling Stones band. But we're coming to the end.
Okay.
And I just want to throw something out there for your... the word single just kind of defines someone. Mm. And I like the word solo. I feel like I'm so...
Flying solo?
Flying
solo.
Solo. Yes. As single. I mean, single kind of, you kind of think that the person is just looking for somebody. When I'm single, you're just saying, I am not married. But I fly solo. You know, sometimes I do, and it's okay. But I like your suggestions how to meet people. Fran, of course, we're going to have you back again.
I can't wait.
Maybe an entire 2-hour show. Otto, what do you think?
Well, you know, a divorce, real fast, changes your position, if you will, mm-hmm, because you were in a couple society before.
Right, exactly.
Now all of a sudden you're flying, and a lot of people have to choose sides, like which person do they go with.
We'll go a little bit further into this at another time, because right now we have 4 seconds left. Thank you for listening to Fran Green, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.
We should mention.